news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson. And if you're not all geared up for summer just yet, well, head over to shopffa.org now to save on short sleeve logo tees, convention tees, and of course, a lot more. And with clearance items up to 60% off. That sale is underway now through July 15th, so log on today and save. Also, the National Association of Agricultural Educators and the National FFA Organization are looking for individuals, teams, and companies to provide training experiences to students and educators at the middle, the high school, and the collegiate levels around the topic of inclusion. And within that, the organization is specifically seeking sessions around topics such as unconscious and implicit bias, micro-messaging, inclusive language, cultural competency, creating an inclusive environment, and how to constructively address inequity and exclusion. Now, those training sessions are going to be held at various times, dates, and locations with anywhere from 10 to 300 participants and will take place between August 1st and December 31st of this year. Additional training opportunities may be offered in 2020 as well. Just go online to NAAE.org for additional information. And finally, are you a teacher or an advisor looking for inspiration when planning your program of activities or your National Chapter Award application? Well, the redesigned 2018 National FFA Chapter Awards Guide, formerly known as the Chapter Success Guide, is now available online at FFA.org. The guide features the 45 National Chapter Award finalists honored during the 91st National FFA Convention and Expo last October. You can read the unique stories of community engagement and chapter accomplishments, which will help to inspire your members to better their schools and communities. Of course, you can also use the guide's planning checklist to get things organized, and information on project funding opportunities is also included. Again, you can find all the information online at FFA.org. Well, we all know that FFA leaves a lasting impression on members and that alumni carry the skills they learn in the organization on into their careers. So let's meet former National Officer James Flatt from Tennessee, who is getting back to his roots, running his family farm, while also sharing his passion for the blue and gold.
Well, I'm James Flatt. I was a past National Officer back in 2010-2011. At Flat Rock Farms, we are primarily a beef cattle operation, so we raise commercial Angus beefs. We're not a registered herd. We also raise dairy goats. We also raise bees. Which is just a pure joy. And my eventual goal is to get to where I'm actually selling packages and nucleus colonies of bees and raising queens and rearing queens. But when you get into that number of hives, it is a full-time job. But it's fun. It's interesting to learn about bees just because of what they're able to do. So it's one of those things, as far as a business goes, it starts off slow. It's one of those things that you've got to grow over time. And that's kind of where my goals lie. We also have just a couple pasture pets in the form of two horses, Ginger and Easy, but they're fun to play around with every now and then too. When I started off in high school, I was actually invited to go to our Tennessee FFA camp at Camp Clements the summer before my ninth grade year by Benny Joe McDonald, who was my ag teacher at the time. It was my freshman year when Mr. McDonald got me to do the creed. I had not ever spoken in front of a group of people before. And it was, quite frankly, a phobia of mine at that point in time. So it gave me the ability to communicate with people, both in presentations and just in general in life. So from that point on, I just decided, hey, you know, I wanna try and run for a state office, and was blessed enough to be elected to a state officer position. And then had the crazy notion, hey, why not try a national office? The national officer team that I was a part of is still family to this day. We may not talk as often as we'd like to, but we still all communicate throughout the year. A lot of people think it's the glitz and the glam. That's what they see when they see national officers. But really, what being a national officer is about is being there for the students. And the biggest thing that I can say, being on this side of the fence and being on that alumni side of the fence, it is truly about a network. Whenever you get ready to find those employment opportunities, it's about your network and who you've talked with. And that's that again, it brings in those communication skills and those networking skills that FFA teaches students. It gives them opportunities to go out and find those individuals who could be their future employer or company that they have a passion for and to go to work for. We were always told growing up, you can do anything you want to do. So always keep that in the back of the mind and always go after the things that you want, because we truly can do anything that we want to do. It's just, it takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort, it takes practice, and it takes resources to be able to meet that. And as long as you have a passion for it, you can accomplish the things that you want to accomplish.
And now we head to the Bluegrass State. That's where the Glasgow FFA in Barron County, Kentucky is continuing to grow after Minnesota-based Cargill Incorporated invested in their school. Hear how from WNKY's Josh Short.
Opportunities for the agriculture department at Barron County High School are starting to grow. A Minnesota-based agriculture corporation called Cargill Incorporated has given the school a $3,000 donation to build a brand new greenhouse next to the existing one. The fact that the school was noticed by a large corporation has made staff like Principal Amy Irwin overjoyed.
It makes me very proud of our students and our teachers, Dr. Moore and the fellow agriculture program teachers, to know that we are recognized by such a large company and that they want to invest in our students so that they get their hands on the most relevant experience in their plant science program.
This is not only good news for the students, but those who work in the agriculture department as well. Barron County agriculture teacher Andy Moore says he's very thankful that Cargill sees Barron County as a good investment.
It is a big deal when they look down at Barron County and say, hey, here's somebody in our community that we can contribute to and maybe help their cause. So we're very excited and very appreciative of it.
A new greenhouse will bring multiple possibilities to the agriculture of Barron County, resulting in more learning space and new ways to be innovative.
We also have had quite a bit of conversation about implementing some of the newer technologies that the greenhouse industries kind of have these days.
And while completing a new greenhouse will take a long while, Moore says he's thankful for the head start, and he'll be ready to hit the ground running when the time comes.
And it'll pay for itself time and again when we can raise products, sell them to the community, and put that money back into our program so the next groups of students for years to come can benefit from that.
Well, congratulations to the chapter on that donation. And finally, we stop in Idaho. That's where members of the Troy FFA talk about the impact their chapter has had on their lives and on their local community.
Hi, my name is Thomas Baer from the Troy FFA chapter, and I'm currently serving as our chapter's treasurer.
My name is Naya Griffin. I am a member of the Troy FFA chapter. I'm currently a junior at Troy High School, and I'm also currently the Troy FFA chapter vice president.
My name is Catherine Domet. I'm from the Troy FFA chapter, and I'm currently serving as your Idaho FFA state sentinel.
I'm currently working on a cattle chute out of aluminum for one of our local members in our community that owns cattle.
We put these boxes and flyers at different locations across Troy and Moscow, like Spence Hardware, both Umpqua Banks and then also Troy High School, and it really gave community members and students the chance to donate their old clothing and give back to the community.
As a state officer this year, I'm looking forward to meeting many different members from across the state and the country, as well as getting to travel around the state to different chapters to interact with the members and as well as go to different conferences and leadership events.
With the skills that I've gathered from these, it'll help me with normal handyman tasks or pursue a career in fabrication or welding that I hope to pursue in the future.
There are a lot of people across the community that need help from us, and we are really willing to do that. It's also really humbled me as a person and allowed me to give back to a community that has really supported me and FFA as a whole, which I think is really important because it also allows me to connect with people and talk to people across the community, and these connections will really help me when I'm trying to either find a job or in the future just when I'm going out and being a productive citizen. It'll be nice to have connections.
FFA has helped me to develop many different leadership skills through competing in career and leadership development events. Through competing in these events, I've been able to step out of my comfort zone and prepare for a career in agriculture.
we care about the community and we want the community support, which I think is really important because we can't do any of the CDEs, we can't do any of the leadership conferences that we go to or any of those types of things without the community support. And that's a really big part of the Troy FFA chapter, especially being a smaller chapter. And so I think it's really important that we give back to the community so that they feel like they can support us.
Community support is necessary when you are in an FFA chapter or agricultural education because it's not always funded by local schools. So the community support helps increase enrollment in these organizations and classes, and it helps, if the parents are involved, then it helps the students get more involved and more interested in becoming a member of FFA.
Well, don't go anywhere. Country artist James Wesley stops by the studio to talk about his FFA experience and more straight ahead here on Rural Radio. Well, thanks for tuning in. And as the 2019 CMA Fest took over Music City over the last weekend, we were honored to visit with one artist who's using his platform to highlight agriculture.
Joining us now is country music artist James Wesley. James, thanks for taking the time to sit down with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
I know this is certainly a busy week for you guys here in Nashville, but give us a little background information on you.
Well, kind of where I grew up and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in southeast Kansas, a little bitty small town, Mound Valley. When I left Mound Valley, it was about 200 people in my hometown. There's 412 now.
Okay.
So it's grown by leaps and bounds. But
well, you and I have something in common. Small town kids, also an FFA background.
Yep,
for
sure.
Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, I'll tell you what, FFA was one, I love that class.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my last couple hours was FFA in high school, and I learned more in that class than I've learned any other class in school.
And still have the chance to use it today every now and then, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me, as far as your music, you have made an effort in your career to kind of draw from your roots.
Exactly. That's where I grew up. And that's, you don't stray far from your roots, you know. And I get to go back to that little bitty town. I've got to go back just a few weeks ago and see it again. It's amazing how small it is. You know, when you're a kid, it looks and seems so big. And then you go back home after a few years and it just seems so much smaller. But all my friends are still there and still working ground and mm-hmm. still farming. And yeah, it's a good place to go back home and go back to the roots.
Well, I know a song that'll ring in folks' memory bank here is your song, Thank a Farmer.
For sure.
How did this come about?
Thank a Farmer was during that time when Paul Harvey, God Made a Farmer, mm-hmm. during the Super Bowl. And the owner of the label, Benny Brown, came to me and said, I got a song here I want you to check out and see if it's something that you might like. And it was one of those that I couldn't pass it up. It was just a great mm-hmm. song, and it was just where I grew up, mm-hmm. you know.
What kind of feedback did you get from your friends back home when they heard that song?
Oh, they loved it.
Yeah.
They loved it, yeah. We went back home. This has been probably about 4 years ago, and I've been back previous to that and did another show, but the first show that we did there, it was amazing. I had my buddies bring their combines. They had the headers. They still, I told them, I said, leave the headers on your combines and bring them up, and we'll park them. And we put two big tractor trailers, like, right side by side, and I put the combines at the end of each of the stage, on each side of the
That's
stage.
Awesome.
And then we had the big tractors, you know, around the back side, and they turned their lights on and fired up the diesel engines on the first song we kicked off. And it was pretty awesome.
Rumbling from the ground up.
Yeah.
Now, tell us a little bit again. I grew up in Mound City, Kansas, small town, rural roots.
Yeah, I grew up in a little bitty town called Mound Valley where I grew up. And like I say, there were 200 people when I left and went to college. And then I came back a few years after coming to Nashville and being here for quite a while. And it's a booming 412 now. But I get to go back, and it's great to get to go back, see my friends I grew up with and that I went to school with.
Mm-hmm. And you and I were talking a little bit about your FFA background, and you had the chance to go to the National Convention, or at least the American Royal in Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's moved a little bit since then.
It has a little bit, yeah. I think the last time that I was there, well, it was in Louisville, Kentucky, you know, the last time that this has been couple years, two or three years ago when I was there. But yeah, that was, that always stuck out, still sticks out, getting to go to the American Royal, you know. I got to see Sawyer Brown and perform, and Mark Miller actually had a broken leg that night, still dancing around.
Yeah.
He's got more energy than 10 people, but But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I think that would be an understatement. And of course, we've had Mark Miller on with us. Nice. Now, it's fun that it seems like, you grew up in a small town, so it's a small community, but it seems like country music is also its own small community.
It is. It really is. No, how big Nashville is, there's still that niche, and everybody's tight. I mean, it's a tight-knit community with the music and everything, which is... it's awesome.
Tell us about your new song that's been released.
Well, the new song Running is, of course, it's brand new. I wrote this song with Markham Stewart and Zach Rickson, and it's a relationship song, and it's one of those songs where this guy in this song, he's gonna keep driving and keep running, from her memory. Probably never will, but
right,
you know.
He can always try.
Exactly.
Country music and relationships. Imagine that.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah. So if folks wanted to find your music, include your new release, where could they do that?
Sure, they can go to all digital outlets have my music right now, and then you can go to my Facebook and check that out. All my dates are on there. And then my website too. So
all right.
But yeah.
Come back and see us sometime.
I will. Thank you, Janet.
Again, James Wesley, country recording artist, joining us here in studio. Stay with us. We have more coming up right here on FFA Today. Welcome back to the show. And finally this week, we check in with members of the Carpinteria FFA in California. They discuss the diversity within their chapter and how they strive to include newcomers and how sometimes people just don't understand what they're talking about.
State your name, position in the club, and which animal you're raising.
My name is Isaac Castillo. I raise animals, and I'm raising a pig.
Okay. How many years have you been a part of the FFA?
This is my second year part of FFA.
What was your reason for joining FFA?
Mainly just to raise animals, but there's a lot more involved with it, so.
What languages do you hear spoken, like when you guys are like in the farm?
English, some Spanish. We just kind of have our own vocabulary for some stuff.
In what way do you or other members interact? Is it formal or informal?
Both. We kind of yell at each other sometimes, or we're like helping each other out. When we talk formal, yeah, usually when we go out and do stuff with officers and when we have to get dressed up and put on the tights and suits and stuff, yeah, it's formal. But in the farm, no, it's not formal.
Okay. How do you interact with your animal? Do you talk to it?
Make little noises, clap at them. I do talk to him, just like you would to any other dog or kid. Just tell him no or whatever when he's not doing something good. But yeah, I talk to him.
What are some like special terms that you guys use that others wouldn't understand if they weren't part of the thing?
I don't know, maybe the pig boards, the whips, the ring.
What part of FFA do you enjoy?
Raising animals, yeah. That one's always fun. But the meetings and stuff and the little games we do in there.
When others aren't part of the club, get involved, or newbies come, like how do you explain like the basic like things that you need to know for FFA and what are the basic things?
I just tell them that it's very time consuming. You have to be able to put a lot of your time if you want to be involved with FFA. Like for a pig, you can't really sleep on it. You have to be there every day in the morning feeding your pig like a normal kid, right? So yeah, you have to just make sure that you're very focused. You can't really slack off when it comes to agriculture.
What would you consider like the basic things of like when it comes to FFA? Like what is like
you just
need to know, like,
you have to go to meetings, you have to know, not the creed, but you kind of learn as you go on with FFA. Like I didn't know anything last year, but then this year, or after this whole first year, I learned a lot, just in the classroom and being here too.
What was your first animal?
My first animal was a pig.
A pig?
Yeah, her name was Charlotte.
Thank you.
My name's Karina Deka. I'm currently the chapter president, and I'm raising a market steer.
What grade are you in?
I'm in 11th grade.
How many years have you been a part of the FFA?
This is my third year, and going into fourth.
What was your reason for joining FFA?
So ever since I was a little kid, I remember coming to the school farm, like in kindergarten, and seeing all the animals and all the big kids with their animals and, thinking like, that's so cool, like with the big kids and their animals. And so, I just, ever since I came to high school, that stuck with me and I just kind of decided, just gonna put myself in the club and see how it does, and here I am.
Thank you. What way do you or other members of the club interact? Is it formal or informal, and like when is it formal and informal?
It is both. More at the farm, it is kind of more informal, you know, just buddies, friends. Same thing in the class sometimes. When it's more like meeting setting, then obviously it's more formal. We talk to each other politely, not like, hey, what's up, buddy? But I mean, generally, it's pretty informal most of the time.
Do you guys have any inside jokes like between you guys?
Not really, but I mean, we all kind of just like make fun of each other, and we're all okay with it because we're all, you know, close friends.
How do you interact with your animal? Like, do you talk to it, or how do you get their attention?
Yeah, it's funny. So I've raised two lambs, and this is my third animal, so it's my steer. And lambs are pretty dumb. So like you say, you talk to them, you know, they don't really know you too much. I mean, they know that you're their owner, but they don't like... They're not smarter, but steers, they're pretty smart. So, like, I can say his name, and he looks over at me, and, like, he knows that it's me, and he starts mooing when he hears my truck come, you know, to come feed him. Like, he definitely knows, like, who I am. They're pretty smart animals.
So, what are some terms that you use that others wouldn't understand outside of FFA?
Not too many. I mean, just general ones, like... People don't know what a steer is, you know? Yeah. Like, just things like that. And, like, honestly, too, like, what's a market animal? What's showmanship? Just things like those that are, I mean, are kind of simple terms, but they mean something might be a little different, like, for us, you know, as FFA members, but nothing too nice. Out of the ordinary.
When others that aren't part of the club get involved, or newbies, how do you try to explain, like, the basics of what FFA is about?
So I love that question because I love our little newbies that come in. You know, we just kind of, at least my way, I just kind of, you know, throw them in there and see how they do, you know, just help them along. That's, in my eye, just the best way to do it, especially because we haven't had, like, too much support in FFA because we've had so many different advisors. It's kind of more student-led. I mean, it still should be student-led, but we're, you know, kind of on our own compared to having a little help. So, I mean, just kind of throwing the kids in there, just trying to make them feel as comfortable as they can and as involved as they can. It's kind of what we just try to do. Oh,
well, that was super nice. Thank you for...
Yeah.
My name's Anna. My position is as a club a member, and I'm raising a lamb.
What grade are you in?
I'm a sophomore.
How many years have you been part of the club?
This is my first year.
Nice. What was your reason for joining FFA?
My reasoning for joining FFA is to get out of my comfort zone, try something new, and experience something that me, my brothers, and I...
What way do you and other members interact? Is it formal or informal?
There's formal and informal. Like, when we're in a competition, we formally talk and not to be disrespectful to each other.
Would you guys consider the way you guys interact rude or normal? And why?
I think normal because everybody has their good and bad moments where they express themselves with each other, and sometimes there's rudeness.
Do you have brothers that go here?
I have my older brother did two lambs and a steer.
Oh.
And my second oldest brother did two lambs, but he went to Rincon.
And they all did FFA?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When others who aren't part of the club get involved, how do you explain, like, the basics? Like, what is the basic things that you learned being part of FFA, like, your first year?
Like, my first year, like, Ivan and Raul taught me new things and how to treat it. And even though the lambs have their attitude, you still gotta deal with it.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Thank you.
Well, that'll wrap up this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email at ffatoday@ffa.org, or you can give us a call. Call 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Adkison with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.